Hello, I am Mahendra Kupte and we are at Chapter 15, Challenges and Risks of Outsourcing. Challenges of outsourcing: right-sizing contract manufacturer selection, forecasting accuracy, inventory liability management, pricing surprises, quality monitoring, product change management, partner relationship management. These are challenges of outsourcing, whether the supplier is onshore or offshore. What is most important is right-sizing contract manufacturer selection, which means that you have got to look at a contractor which is of the correct size with respect to your business and your requirements. If your supplier is too big, you are going to have an issue in terms of supplies. That is, your supplies are going to be just a small part of the entire capacity of that supplier. It would be much better to be for the situation to be the other way around, where you are the major part of his capacity rather than being just a small percentage of his entire capacity. This would also mean that the supplier is now more cooperative, more collaborative with you, rather than being the company which actually decides how much is going to be your output on a daily basis. Right-sizing contract manufacturer selection is extremely important to ensure that you have a proper source of supply and you are not being at the mercy of a big supplier company. Forecasting accuracy: you would have to improve and ensure that your forecasting is much better than it was earlier when the manufacturing was in-house before outsourcing. Inventory liability management: you are now going to have a much higher value of inventory because you are going to hold inventory of finished goods rather than of raw materials and WIP. So inventory liability is going to be higher, which needs to be managed with forecasting accuracy. Pricing surprises: there could be surprises that could come up in terms of the costs rather than pricing, because the cost of shipping, the cost of transportation overseas as well as at our end could be changing. At the same time, there are too many stakeholders in between that could vary the costs and thus give us pricing surprises. Quality monitoring: if the supplier is overseas, quality monitoring is a big challenge. But if the supplier is onshore, then quality monitoring should not be an issue if we are able to get transparency and trust between us. The supplier is able to see the actual final use of the component in our assembly, he understands the kind of quality that is accepted, that is acceptable, that is not acceptable, and a small training from our in-house team of quality would do the job of ensure that good quality comes up from the supplier. Product change management is a challenge, because if your product changes, which means the manufacturing process or the component that the supplier is making needs to change, there has to be a lot of coordination that is required to understand the WIP inventory, the inventory of raw materials available. If their raw material is also changing, then the inventory of raw material, the commitment of raw material to the vendor, all the aspects need to be looked at, which means product change management definitely would be a challenge, especially if the supplier is overseas. If the supplier is onshore, it would be comparatively easier, but definitely requires a lot of planning and supplier coordination. Partner relationship management: when you are trying to move from a supplier relationship to a partnership, you would have to, and if your supplier is overseas, you would need to really work much more effort would be required to develop this relationship, because the supplier overseas becomes a bigger supplier than you are, then you would be in trouble in terms of getting regular supplies for your components. Challenges of outsourcing: assigning the right team, offshore cost assessment, environmental compliance. Assigning the right team, here what is meant here is that many a times there have been cases where when you visit the supplier, he there is a team that is interested, that a team that is introduced to you, the technical team, the production in charge, etc., etc. But when you are actually getting into the raw material, the when you are onboarding the supplier, and he is when you start sharing the first schedules, you find a new set of people totally in place there. And that is where you realize that the team that was talking technically with you is no more in place. They are maybe looking at different customers, then, and you are left with a second line of command there who will not be able to take any decisions as to what you want, rather than they will have to keep escalating those decisions or those requirements to a different team. Now, this would not go very well. So you need to understand who is going to be working with you on the long-term basis and start talking to that team, that is assigning the right team from your side as well as their side. Offshore cost assessment. As I said, if the supplier is offshore, your cost assessment has to be a little more detailed, a little more accurate, because there would be just too many cost factors that are involved, and you got to understand each of them. Keep a range available with you so that your cost doesn't keep getting escalating and affect the final pricing of your product. Environmental compliance. I wouldn't only say environmental. Here we would also like to look at regulatory compliance, so that your overseas supplier doesn't resort to any shortcuts in terms of environment, not only environment but also regulatory, in terms of hiring underage people or people with lower wages, so that where he could get into complications for environmental or regulatory compliance, and that would affect supplies to us. Overcoming these challenges, select the right sized contract manufacturer, collaborative forecasting, clear inventory liability agreements, transparent pricing structures, in-process quality monitoring, single source of truth for changes, defined exit and transition plans, strong internal and external teams. How do you overcome these challenges of outsourcing? Select the right sized contract manufacturer. As we just understood earlier, that we need to look at not a company who has a brand image and who is a supplier to a lot many OEs, rather than get a supplier who has the expertise, maybe not the same kind of infrastructure, but an infrastructure that suits your requirement, and he is looking at mutual growth with respect to you, so that his business improves as your business does. That would be the best contract manufacturer that you can look for. You should have collaborative forecasting so that you don't get surprises in your forecasting, and at the same time, it helps you that you do not get into excess inventory of finished goods just to take care of customer needs. Clear inventory liability agreements. Let us understand what kind of raw material inventory that the supplier holds, what kind of WIP inventory he holds, and what is the in-process, that is the finished goods inventory that he holds at his end. Now, this would give you a clear understanding as to whenever there are product changes to be made, whenever there are any changes in requirements to be conveyed to him, you would know exactly what would be the time period for him to react and what is the kind of inventory in between those changes. Transparent pricing structures, especially for overseas suppliers, we would need to have transparent pricing structures by bringing in trust and understanding what are the, is the supplier, overseas supplier, able to get raw material at a better price than we had already assessed earlier. If that is the case, there has to be a transparency, and we get part of that benefit so that our pricing also gets has a positive effect, so that we are able to manage the other costs that we would incur by importing those components. In-process quality monitoring. What are the quality checks and processes balances in place for in-process inventory to ensure that raw material is not lost? Not that we would be charged for that loss of raw material, but let us understand that is going to affect us over a period of time, and it will definitely be a cost that we will have to bear. Single source of truth for changes. we need to understand whether we are going to going in for as a strategy with a single source, or whether you are going in for multiples, so that we know what is going, how much is our dependence on him, and he also understands the dependence of us on him, so that both businesses grow together. Defined exit and transition plans, especially when we are looking at temporary outsourcing, we need to define what is going to be the time period, either in terms of years, months, or in terms of quantities, whichever comes earlier, or whatever are those conditions that we would like to look at. Strong internal and external teams. We should have a strong internal team which is able to ensure and adjust things in and take things in their stride when there are certain delays or certain other requirements, quality issues that come up with the supplies. And if it is not a single source, whether they are able to change over, make partially increase the in-house capacity, or try and see how they can help us to overcome those risks. What are the major outsourcing risks? Financial risks, operational risks, cybersecurity risks, compliance risks, reputational risk, quality risk, geopolitical risk, cultural risk, supply chain risk, and communication risk. Financial risks, we all know we are definitely going to be paying. We have gone out, we have outsourced because the cost is less. But that does not mean that the financial risk is low. The financial risk remains the same, because finally the risk is with respect to supplying a finished goods or to our customers. Unless and until we are doing that on time and in the best quality, we will keep having a financial risk. Now, the trigger for that financial risk is much more now on the outside outsourced area rather than the in-house manufacturing. Operational risks, the entire operations could get affected. As a result, we could run into financial risk, including operational risk, that is, our labor is sitting without raw material for them to process because the supplier has not delivered. Cybersecurity risks, when we are giving our suppliers access to our systems, there are possibilities that there could be a situation where one of their areas is prone to some cybersecurity attack, and that creeps in through the system to us as OE suppliers also, OE manufacturers also. Compliance risks, there have been cases in the past where a brand like Nike has suffered because one of their outsourced partners employed underage people. Now, this could be a big compliance risk that we are taking, we are totally invisible to whatever is happening or the kind of labor force that your supplier uses. A visit may not serve the purpose, because for that one day's visit, if he wants to do something wrong, he could ensure that all those people are put on leave, and then things go back to normal the day you leave from there. So this would have to be more of a trust issue and a transparency issue, rather, so that this compliance risk is totally eliminated. Reputational risks, as I said earlier, this example of Nike, the newspapers, the news items that carried it, Nike had a tough time recovering from that risk, because what it meant was that Nike employed underage people. But this was not taken very well by the people in the US, and as a result, Nike suffered a huge loss in terms of volumes dropping. Quality risks. Quality risk could come up at any place, whether the manufacturing is in-house, whether the supplier is onshore or the supplier is offshore. Now, offshore, communicating the risk and the transit time and the long lead times plays a major role, because the risk that you are taking is much higher, because if that quality is in a lot today, which has landed at our place, there is already a lot in transit and there is already one more lot in production. So the lot in transit could have the same defect, which means that you now need to rush supplies of the component or start making them in-house. Geopolitical risks, if that if the supplier is overseas or even if he is in the country, but in a region where there are some political unrest, and as a result, even the transportation lines are cut off, then there could be a problem of raw materials or materials reaching us. Cultural risks. Many a times, many of these companies close down because they do not employ ladies, or they are not permitted to employ ladies, depending on cultural requirements there. This is just an example. As a result, companies could get into trouble with the local authorities as well as the government of that country. Supply chain risks, definitely the physical movement of the material, the supplier delivering material, raw materials to the to your supplier, rather the vendor delivering raw material to the supplier processing it on time, deliveries in terms of transport as well as quality and materials reaching us on time. So supply chain risks are definitely higher and they need to be addressed. Communication risk, this becomes the most important one or the trigger for all of the other risks, and that is ensuring that risk communication continues irrespective of time zones, irrespective of language, using a common platform so that communication is never doubted. Risk mitigation strategies, how do you try and mitigate the risks that we just saw? Robust contracts and KPIs, vendor diversification, continuous monitoring and audits, contingency planning, strong cybersecurity measures, cultural training, legal and compliance checks, performance-based incentives. Robust contracts and KPIs, we have good contracts and proper KPIs to monitor performance to ensure, and maybe if that is the case, we are talking of controlling or rather overcoming risks, then we would have to also have penalties in place so that if there is a default on the KPI, there would be a penalty that would go along with it. The better part would be to have vendor diversification, especially if you are looking at source which is overseas. He needs to be backed up by a source which is onshore, which you can control. Now the source onshore is not able to give you the same cost benefit as the overseas supplier. So you continue with both of them, and a net difference between the prices is what would be your gain in terms of cost of the component. Continuous monitoring and audits. It would be easy to monitor when the supplier is onshore rather than offshore, and keep auditing him so that you upgrade him to a self-certification level. Contingency planning. This is where you will have to plan for contingencies. Either you have in-house capacity that is kept on standby with machinery already in place, a trial lot already taken, a pilot batch already processed, so that in case there is a contingency, manufacturing can start in-house. Strong cybersecurity measures. You ensure that data is shared with other suppliers through proper firewalls so that there is no possibility, or rather make the possibility absolutely close to zero for anybody else hacking their systems and then entering into our systems. Cultural training, there would be certain requirements in terms of cultural training that are to be ensured for our buyers as well as their sellers, so that both of us don't run into any other issues. Legal and compliance checks, we keep ensuring that we have somebody in the overseas market to keep a proper check on what is happening legally as well as compliance in terms of this company. Maybe a professional who is hired or who is employed in terms of on a contract basis to ensure that there are legal and compliance checks that are in place. Performance-based incentives. While we say that we would have robust contracts and KPIs and penalties, we should also ensure that there is a performance-based incentive that is made available so that there is both the carrot and stick process. What are the advantages of outsourcing? Improved cost management, optimized internal resources, increased return on investment, 24-hour production capability, increased efficiency, access to advanced equipment and talent, faster time to market. So improved cost management is what is the reason for actually outsourcing. Optimized internal resources, with this processes or the component being manufactured by somebody else, you have got better use of resources which you can optimize for a higher level of work, for a core competent work that is required, necessary for our product. Increased ROI, the return on investment in terms of getting outsourced material is much higher and much faster, because you are now only paying for the final component being delivered. 24-hour production capability, if the supplier is overseas, you, while you are asleep, there is production going on and deliveries can happen. Of course, the delivery time period, longer lead times, nullifies this 24-hour production capability to a large extent. However, if the supplier is onshore, you can demand an increased production from him, and he would be at a, since he is a smaller, much disorganized process of manufacturing in terms of using contract labor much more than you are capable of, in because of your reputation, your size and your union, you will be much better to get 24-hour production capability. Increased efficiency, a smaller setup is easier to manage, and if you have KPIs and if he's, the supplier is interested in improvement, then you would have increased efficiency from his side. Access to advanced equipment and talent, definitely we understood this right in the beginning. If the supplier is, it is his core competence to manufacture a certain kind of products, he would have much better equipment with him and much more talent, as well as access to technology from his side. Faster time to market. If we need prototypes, if we need different supplies as a pilot to look for a new product, that would be much faster from his side, because it is his core competence to manufacture those kinds of products and a family of products. Many a times it could be a situation that while it may be a new product to us, he may be manufacturing it for somebody else already. What are the disadvantages? Reduced transparency and oversight, quality inconsistencies, miscommunication risks, slower innovation and iteration, supply chain complexity, reputational risks, security and IP risks. Disadvantages of outsourcing: reduced transparency and oversight. Yes, you cannot now oversee the actual manufacturing process happening at your supplier, even if he is onshore, because it is physically not possible for you to depute anybody there on a regular basis. If the supplier is offshore, definitely it is ruled out. There is going to be reduced transparency and oversight. Quality inconsistencies can happen at both sides, whether the supplier is onshore or he's offshore. But onshore, the damage could be controlled to a much faster extent and to a minimum level of quantities, rather than when it is overseas. Miscommunication risks would be much lower with the onshore supplier, unless he is in a remote area and there is a different state and a different region altogether, where the communication language itself is different. There could be another problem of miscommunication, is that is the connectivity to internet or to mobile networks. Slower innovation and iteration. If the supplier is backward in terms of not having the required technology or is yet to upgrade to the new technology, their innovation could be much slower and you could not get more options and in terms of iterations of your product. Supply chain complexity depends, again, if the supplier is overseas, the complexity is much higher. Even if he is towards in a remote area, there could be a complexity in terms of the supply chain. Here, when we are referring this supply chain, we are talking about the transportation only, because the other factors are multifold with respect to the complexity. Reputation risks. We could run reputation risks if suppliers use any malpractices for their manufacturing to ensure that they cut costs and try and offer us or make better profits for themselves. security and IP risks. We run this risk as soon as we employ a supplier, but then as I said earlier, it is trust and transparency that ensures that this security and IP risks do not come up. Let's summarize. Outsourcing is essential but complex. SMEs face unique challenges. Risks must be proactively managed. Benefits are significant if managed well. Balanced decision making is critical. So outsourcing is essential. That is all that we understood, but it is complex. Yes, it could get complex, especially whenever the suppliers are overseas. SMEs face unique challenges. The unique challenges are that SMEs have a limited volume of manufacturing of their products. And as a result, it is many a times difficult to attract or get contract manufacturers to accept such low volumes, and because every contract manufacturer would also be looking at trying to see how he is able to access better technology, better innovation, and offer better volumes to his customers. Risk must be proactively managed. We need to understand the risks when we are getting into, based on the location of the supplier, the level of the supplier, the complexity of our product, and how processes need to be managed. This would then give us the risks that are related with our products, with our components, and how we can manage them. Benefits are significant if managed well. Yes, there is a definite gain or a definite benefit, and those benefits are much bigger whenever you think of outsourcing products, because the biggest advantage is we have got a resource optimization that we can avail of when we outsource products which we are making in-house. Balanced decision making is critical. It all starts from the make versus buy decision, but finally ends at whether we are using a supplier who is in-house, who is onshore, who is offshore, looking at what are the costs, what are the trade-offs, and what are the risks that we are getting into. Thank you.